Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, Lord, we come before Thee, the great God and our Creator, the one who has provided that true bread from heaven, that true manna from above. As we would open Thy word of life, we pray that Thou would provide Thy Spirit and Thy presence with us to divide this bread of life, that we all might partake and receive nourishment for our inner man, that Thou would direct and guide our hearts into the love of the truth and into the love of Jesus Christ and patiently waiting for Him. Lord, we pray that Thou would be with us through this day, that our time of worship and fellowship would be an honor and a glory unto Thee, and would reflect Thy goodness, Thy holiness, and Thy truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I desire, with the Lord's help this morning, to read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 32. Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 32. I'd like to read the first 8 verses with the Lord's help. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall no more be called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful, for the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Beloved, with the Lord's help, it's my desire that we would meditate upon this scripture, to take from it the teachings and the example and the pictures that are painted for us by the pen of the prophet, inspired by the Spirit of God, and to seek how they would illustrate for us that manna from heaven, that true bread, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is a king. He is a hiding place. He brings wholeness, and he brings truth. And we see that Jesus and his goodness are illustrated for us here in these pictures of the king, of the water in a dry place, of the healing and the health to the eyes and the ears, and of the revelation of the truth of the heart of man. So this passage of Scripture, it's not one of the ones that we can often say, we know this Scripture, we've heard it from when we were on our mother's knee and in the Sunday schools, and you might be wondering, what is he talking about? What is this pertaining to? When you find a Scripture that you're unfamiliar with, and you don't know what to make of it, first pray. Pray to the Lord. He is the one who inspired the Word, and he can provide insight. He can provide understanding. And after you pray, read it again. And I would suggest read the chapter before and read the chapter after and take note, what is being spoken about? If you do that with these few chapters around Isaiah 32, you'll find that Isaiah is talking to Judah at a time of great threatening. They are going to be attacked by the kingdom of Assyria. The northern kingdom of Israel had already been taken into captivity. And now the kingdom of Assyria was coming down to Judah. And Isaiah's command and God's command to them was, trust in the Lord. Don't be afraid of your enemies. The Lord will win this battle for you. Don't go and look for somebody to help you like they were going to the nation of Egypt to make an alliance to get their army to help them. Don't do that. Trust in the Lord. Have quietness in your soul, which is hard to do when you're under threatening. But the Lord is promising, a king shall reign in righteousness. There was a king that would come who was following the Lord. His name was Hezekiah. He followed in the footsteps of his father David, and in many ways he was a good king. And we see that that's the immediate context here. But we think of the song. What is there of good that is found not in thee? It is found not in Jesus Christ. If there's anything good that was in Hezekiah, it was just a foreshadowing of the goodness of Christ. As our ultimate king, as our ultimate supreme and ruler. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. For a king to reign in righteousness, to do what is right, to set things in order, brings about a peace. Because when there's no order, everyone does what is right in his own mind. And you see a need, and you say, I can do that, and somebody else sees the same need, and you're stepping on each other's feet, and there's conflict. But when there's order, and there's righteousness, there's peace. When things are established, and everyone knows what is their role and duty, that's a king reigning in righteousness. It brings peace. It brings a calm. It brings order. And there's a promise. The king shall reign in righteousness. A king will come. A king will come to establish order. And Jesus Christ has preached of his kingdom and the order of that kingdom for our good. Each of us has a king. Last week it was talked about the two groups of people, those that are condemned and those that are redeemed. Each has a king. Each has one who places things that take place in our life in order. Who is your king? Who is my king? There were two different types of kingdoms. The one in the northern kingdom of Israel at this time, it was ruled by a string of evil kings, and it was taken into captivity first. And we can think that's logical. That makes sense. Someone who's given totally to evil and to idolatry and wickedness, they're going to be seeing consequences. The kingdom of Judah, they had a mixture of kings. Some were good and some were evil. The end of them is the same. They went into captivity from the Babylonian kingdom. We can only find true peace when we have one king and serve one master. And Jesus Christ said just as much. He said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." He bore witness to the truth and taught us that we can't feel good about having a few good days or doing a little bit of good and then giving in to evil. We must have a king who rules and reigns supreme over us. We must have one master. Otherwise, there's confusion and a lack of peace and conflicting interests. So who is my king and who is your king? Song in the Zion's Harp says, "Lord Jesus, thou art king. At God's right hand thou reignest." Says, let not a single knee refuse or remain unbended. And let no tongue be loath to own that Jesus is our Lord. Don't hesitate. Don't question. But claim him as your king in firmness and in faith. That is his desire, that we would embrace him as our king, that he would set all of the things of our life in order. And there are those who serve in his kingdom, he says, and princes shall rule in judgment. Brothers and sisters, we are called in the word in 1 Peter chapter 2. To be a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. We are called in 1 Timothy to suffer with Christ. And if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. We're told in Revelation chapter 20. Of the first resurrection. And whoever would take part in that first resurrection shall not be under the threat of the second death, but they would rule and reign with Christ. Are we being prepared to be princes that rule in judgment, that would be practiced and well-versed in discernment to know the will of our King and to carry it out, to put it into practice? That's what we're called to. We are called to be servants of our great king. Everyone serves their king. Whether it's a soul that desires to please themselves and to serve Satan, or a soul that has heard the precious message of the gospel, Jesus Christ and his salvation, and recognizes the truth and desires to be a part of his great plan. There is a kingdom and there is a nation that is being built up by our Lord. He's that good king. He's that good king for us. He says, a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, and as rivers of water in a dry place, and as and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And we know this song from our gospel hymns. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. We know who this verse is speaking of. And it says, a man shall be as a hiding place. In the heat of the summer, when we're working outside, and the sun is beating down on us and it's oppressing, how comforting it is to find the shadow, to find reprieve, to find a calm and peace. How is it in the spiritual? How is it in the time of temptation? When temptations grow strong, when they beat on us, and the heat and the pressure of our enemy seeks to make us do the things that we know will bring us shame, we know will bring us guilt, we know will never satisfy. But he knows how to push those buttons. And he knows how to entice. But then we turn and we look, where is the presence of the Lord? And we pray to our Lord. And we ask, Jesus, be near to me. And help me in this time. And we sense his presence and his nearness. And know that the suffering that he went through was so greater than ours. And we find the strength in his wounds to overcome. And we realize, he is strong enough to carry me through. He is able to help me. And I don't need to listen to the one who has nothing but evil for me. I don't need to follow this temptation. And we find a peace, like the shadow on that sunny day, and a calm in the midst of the storm, a covert from the tempest. A shelter, and from the tempest, the storm. Do you take refuge in Jesus Christ? Do you know him in that way? We think of a king and ruling and reigning and establishing his order, and that going against what we want. But when we trust in Jesus, when we know he has the best for us, we know that being close to him and following in his way brings peace, brings contentment, brings joy. Do I know him as a king? And do I know him as my hiding place? A place where I find refuge? Do I know him as the man, Christ Jesus, who is the mediator between God and man, who makes peace between me and God. The one who was tempted in all points like we are, but was without sin, and is able to help, able to aid, able to strengthen. One we can relate to, one who knows our feeling, who knows the trial, and that we can go to in our time of need. This is what the scripture teaches us of Jesus. And he does not He does not resent when his children come to him in their great need. He is actually praying for us. He's interceding for us. He's longing for us to come near to him. Don't be afraid to ask him for help. Don't be afraid. Come to him. Jesus did say, "Whoever thirsts, let him come to me and drink." He said, "Let him that is weary and heavy laden, let him come to me and find rest." This is what we find in Jesus Christ. An order to direct our lives, which brings peace. We know who is in control. We know who is at the helm. Our King who reigns in righteousness. And how good it is that he reigns in righteousness. He's a good king. He does what's right. He's not like someone who wants to be our president, who's going to appeal to our desires or try to be popular among people. He does what's right, whether we like it or not. There's a consistency, there's a predictability that we can have confidence in him. He's not going to change his mind on a whim or because he's partial. He sees your value. Not that you are more valuable than any other, but you are valuable and precious in his sight. He loves and cares for each of his own. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. Jesus often said, "Let him that hath an ear, let him hear." The words of Jesus Christ and his invitation are open for you and me today. We hear his call to repent and to believe the gospel. And it's not hidden. The word of faith is not far from you. It's not far from me. Let him hear. He's not hiding anything that would be good for us. The challenge is that we often desire something that's outside of our reach. And we're longing for that rather than what we have. We have the commands of Jesus Christ that we know. But do we follow them? Do we embrace them and say, "Lord, I don't understand everything about everything. But what I know is that you are King. And the commands that I know, I will follow as a willing, faithful subject." And the Lord sees that and he says, "Yes, you are ready now. You're ready to grow in your spiritual life. You're ready to be entrusted with more." And then the things that are outside of our understanding, outside of our abilities, they open up. But it was because of the faith in our Lord and what we knew of him that those doors open up. So if it seems that the doors are closed and it seems like God is hiding or he's concealing something, go back. Go back to where you talked to him last, at the foot of that well. And he asked you, "Where are you? Where's your life? Are you living to the potential that I've entrusted you with?" Pick up from there. Pick up from the things that you know. It's not far. And the Lord will walk with you. He'll help you. There may be some things that you see, some things that you hear, and you need to know, is it good? Is it right? These are the way things come into our lives, through our eyes and through our ears. And these things need to be purified These things need to be sanctified. These things need to be given inspiration from the Lord, and that they would be directed to things that would edify and build up our spiritual life. How many avenues of input do we have? How many streams of information do you open yourself up to, and do I open myself up to, on a daily basis? Do we see them clearly? Do we see good as good and evil as evil? When the Lord orders our lives, He sanctifies the input streams of our life, our eyes and our ears. He sanctifies also the heart. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge. To have an understanding heart that takes those inputs and is able to discern them. This is the work of the Lord. This is the front line of the spiritual battlefield. It's in our hearts. And Jesus longs for us to understand, where is our heart? He told so many parables. Parables of the different grounds that illustrated man's heart. For us to contemplate, where are we? And God can give even the rash, the hasty, those that are often quick to act, maybe more on instinct than with careful, thoughtful, and faithful response. The Lord can train us to understand knowledge. That's a gift from Him. We won't get that anywhere else in this world. And finally, the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The tongue of one who cannot speak, but shall be ready to speak plainly. This word plain is a very precious word. We're taught about the gospel and that it's simple and that a fool cannot err. And that we are to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their speech should be plain. Scripture says that we should speak words that are easy to be understood. The tongue of man, the output of what is coming out of man, God is interested in that too. And He wants it to be plain. He wants it to be of one quality. James talks about a fountain when he talks about the tongue. He talks about a fountain. Can a fountain bring forth both sweet water and bitter? Can the tongue that has been sanctified by a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords speak two different things? One thing when we're in the presence of believers, and one thing while we're at home. The tongue that is sanctified by the Lord is ready to speak plainly. It's ready to speak things that are consistent with the gospel of Jesus Christ and His call. The outputs of a man's life, the things that we produce, can they be brought under the light of the Word and be shown to be consistent with the gospel, which is plain, which is simple? What peace that brings to us. So many times when David was lying, being deceitful and trying to hide and being double-tongued, He got himself into a lot of trouble. But the Lord would relieve us of that sort of way of living. Say, just follow me. Just have your life be consistent with the gospel. Remember the love of Jesus Christ in all things that you do. Let that change your heart and set in order your heart so that the tongue can follow. And Jesus can do these things. We see that there is many that were blind. There's those that could not hear. There's those that could not speak. He touched their lives. He healed them and brought them wholeness. And that is what he longs for us to be whole, to be sound and healthy in him. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. The churl, or the miser, someone who is stingy, and the liberal, those that are generous, and those that are giving, is what the words that are recorded here are meaning. It's saying that at one time, the vile person was called bountiful or generous. They're being praised for their goodness, but no more. And I think to myself of what Jesus Christ encountered when he came to this earth. Something that's so common. When he saw the Pharisees and that their place was high and lifted up and admired among men, that they were being called all the good names, but their heart was not right. And Jesus called them out. Jesus also knows your and my heart. And we cannot hide. He knows us through and through. The choice that Jesus Christ gives us between either serving God or serving mammon makes things stark and distinct. And that's what Jesus Christ's word should do for us. It will show us where we have failed and where we have erred, and will point us the way where we can find healing and right. It will show us that who we are is not good enough on our own, and that we need a Savior. We need someone to change us, someone to redeem us. And Jesus Christ came to do that. The Pharisees resisted, and they turned away from Jesus' words. They practiced hypocrisy and uttered error against the Lord. They found fault with him and his teachings. They made empty the soul of the hungry and caused the drink of the thirsty to fail. They destroyed the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. Jesus' word will show us what the truth is and where we stand. And we will make a choice about who our King is. And that choice will lead us to a destination and cause us to go in a particular path. The vile will be revealed as vile. Will not be able to hide behind a name or men's praise. But it says the liberal, those that are generous, those that are noble, deviseth liberal things, is ready to give, is ready to share, is ready to welcome and to help those who are in need, and by liberal things shall he stand. Beloved, Jesus Christ is our King, and he has freely given to us of his goodness, of his kindness, and he has suffered for us greatly. He shed his precious blood, and he has given his life and risen again. And now he is seated at the right hand of God. He is reigning and ruling. We desire not to be part of those that resist the word of Jesus Christ, but embrace it, but hold it as true. By those things that he has lived, and by the way that he has taught, we will stand. We will build upon a foundation of a rock. And when the storms come, the house will stand. And though it seems like there's much that's given up, and there's much that's sacrificed, there's life. At the end of this path of following Jesus Christ, there is life and there is peace. That's my hope and prayer for myself and for each of us, that we would see the pictures of Jesus Christ, love him and serve him. Amen.